April 2nd, 2024. We're continuing in Masechet Berachot, we're on the Kaf Bet Amud Bet, we're four lines from the top, and the Gemara is continuing its conversation with regards to a Baal Keri, a person who had seminal emission. We saw several mahlokot, several disputes about this matter with regards to application and halachot, and the Gemara is going to return to and have some wrap-up comments on this matter. Says the Gemara, Michdeh, Kulhu emorae v'tanae b'de ezra kamipalge. It says Gemara Michteh really means, let's analyze, let's notice. Kulhu emorae v'tanae. All the emoraim, which we cited earlier, all the tanaim, of course, rabbis from the Gemara, emoraim, tanaim, rabbis from the Mishnah, whom we mentioned earlier, b'de ezra kamiflege. They are disagreeing about this famous takana of ezra. The Mishnah, Masechet, Bava Kaman Daf Pebet, mentions 10 takanot, 10 enactments of Ezra HaSofer. One of them is this immersion in the mikveh for a Baal Keri, for a person who has that seminal emission. Says Gemara, if all these debates, and we're going to return to these debates and discuss them again if you forgot them, but if all these debates surround that takana, nechzeh, we should look into Ezra Hechitaken. How was Ezra mitaken this takana? Just look into it. Just find out what the reality was. Now, Ezra HaSofer, clearly in the time of the Gemara, is hundreds of years passed away already. But nonetheless, the Gemara assumes you could clarify this. Why could you clarify this more than any other takana? Tosafot, top right-hand corner, points out, Gabesha ar takanot la parich Gemara hache. It says, even though Baharbe Mekomot and many other places with regards to other takanot, the Gemara doesn't ask this question. Just find out how it was. This is different. This is an everyday occurrence. People are going to the mikveh or having the tish'a kabin thrown on them every single day based on the issue of Baal Keri. As a result, the assumption of the Gemara is it couldn't be entirely forgotten as to what Ezra actually said. Lemashal, not a takana, but lemashal, when you're dealing with tefillin, Rabbeinu Tam or Rashi, sometimes people question, not getting into the debate, sometimes people question, how could there be a dispute about it? Everyone was wearing, the answer very simply over there at its core level, aside from any complications you're going to add, is that it's all inside. You don't know exactly what's on your tefillin. They didn't know per se every single person. Over here, this was an everyday occurrence. Everyone should have been aware of this. That's the question. Says the Gemara, V'nechzeh Ezra, hechitaken, how did Ezra make this takana? Amar Abaye, Abaye says, listen, we do know how Ezra made the takana. However, we have a question about its application. Ezra tiken libari hamargil 40 se'ah ubari leonso tisha kabin. Now, if you recall, these are concepts we talked about the last time. We saw Ravin and Ravdimi, whom we're going to return to briefly. They were talking about the difference between a bari, means any person, and a chole, means a person who's sick, or, by extension, talmidei hakamin, people who are studying Torah. And we furthermore distinguished between what's called le'onso, which means it was not through marital relations, and hamargil means through marital relations. And we had different stages or different levels for each one of these. Briefly, says Abaye, Ezra's takana was for a bari, a person who's healthy, hamargil, who had regular relations with his wife, 40 se'ah. He needs to immerse in 40 se'ah of a mikveh. That's a full-fledged mikveh status. Ubari le'onso, and a person who's le'onso, meaning not through relations, they went to sleep and they woke up with keri of something of that sort, tisha kabin. They needed the lower stature of Tisha Kabin. That was the Takana of Ezra. Tisha Kabin meaning a smaller measurement, if you recall, just a few minutes in a shower would effectuate that. Okay, so then what's the debate? What's the dispute that we had until now? Ve'atu emorae, and the emoraim who followed thereafter, the ones that we saw, Tanaeve emorae is the other girsa here in the Gemara. And then you had the rabbis from the Mishnah and the Gemara, upilige, and they have a dispute about Behole, with regards to a sick person or a Talmid Chacham. Mor Savar, and this is the Mahlok Ravin and Ravdimi, Chole HaMargil, Kebari HaMargil. First opinion maintained that Chole and Bari would be equivalent. The same way Bari HaMargil is be 40 se'ah, so to Chole HaMargil, Chole Le'onso, Kebari Le'onso, and so to Le'onso, which again means inadvertently, through sleep or something of that sort, which only needs tisha kabin, so to hole, you don't make a distinction. Umor savar, the other opinion, again, Rav Dimi, savar hole, hamargil ke bari leonso, vehole leonso, patur miklum. He bumps everything down a bit, and he says, hole, we're more lenient on. And as a result, hole hamargil is like bari leonso, tisha kabin, hole leonso, which means to say a person is either Talmid Chacham or sick in some respect. If it's lo and so, not through marital relations, patur miklum, there's no necessity whatsoever. Again, the Gemara that we saw just a bit earlier, the last time we learned together, says the Gemara, Amar Rava. Rava now has a claim against Abaye. He's not going to change things altogether to make them altogether different, but listen to how he says, Nihidit tiken Ezra tevila nitina mi tiken. Says the Gemara, wait a second, claims Ravata Abaye. I know the Mishnah, and we're going to quote it in just a moment, in Masechet Bava Kama mentions that Ezra did make a takana of immersing in a mikveh, but he never says anything about nitina, meaning that whole tisha'a kabin business, that as long as the water falls onto you, and it's not about immersing in it, it's sufficient, and even a smaller amount, and maybe... we have no mention of any of that. V'ha'amar mor, don't we have a statement there, says Rashi from Bava Kama, right there in the seventh perek, at the end of perek Merubeh, Ezra tiken tevila leba'ale keryim. Right, the statement is that Ezra made tevila. What's tevila? It means immersing. What does immersing mean? Not placing, not having fall on you, meaning not tisha kabin. Ela amar Rava. Rava doesn't change it all together to make it altogether different, but he suggests, here's how it worked. Ezra tiken tevila lebari hamargil arbaim se'ah. Ezra had a singular takana, not twofold, but rather, if I have a bari hamargil, which means a person who's neither a talmid chacham nor sick, and they had relations with their wife, that's all Ezra dealt with. And what was Ezra's takana? Arba'im se'ah, a regular immersion in the mikveh. Ve'atu rabbanan, and then the following generation or generations then made v'hitkinu lebari le'onto tisha kabin. Okay, so in other words, all Rava did was he added this line in, that the tisha kabin for a bari le'onto so was done by the Chachamim, not by Ezra. Everything that follows, and then you have the dispute between Ravina and Rav Dimi. Behole mor savar hole hamargil kibari hamargil, hole leonso kibari leonso, mor savar lebari hamargil arbaim se'a, hole hamargil kibari leonso tisha kabin, avale hole leonso patur mikilum. Okay, so that's what the suggestion of Rava is, that everything follows accordingly. Just the initial stage that Abaye suggested, that Ezra had a twofold takana, that's not true. How this plays out with regards to Bari and Hole, that's a dispute of the Emoraim, because that was never addressed by Ezra. Amar Rava, says Rava, I'll tell you the halakha. Hilcheta, the halakha is as follows. Bari hamargil vehole hamargil arba'im se'ah. Okay, so far, now what do we think he's going to say? We saw another opinion says, Ubari leonzo tisha kabin. Now, it should follow, if we're going to be consistent, that a hole leonso should also be tisha kabin. Aval le hole leonso patur mikilum. He effectively, Rava, takes the opinions of Ravin and Ravdimi and he mixes them together. He suggests that a bari and a hole hamargil both need arba'im se'ah. Then when you jump down a level to leonso, a bari is tisha kabin, but if it's a hole, it's no necessity whatsoever. What does this amount to halakha lema'aseh for me and you? If you look for a moment at Rashi, Amar Rava hilcheta, four lines from the top, says Rashi, apelukta de emoraehu de pasak Rava. Rava is weighing in on the machloket of the emoraim, de plige alibad rabbanan, who disagree about the machloket. If we're to maintain that you need to immerse yourself for Baal Keri, they have a mahloket. Mihu, says Rashi, however, hashta, now, anan, we, kirbi uda memetera nahaginan, kidama rav nahman le'el, rav nahman ba yitzhak bat rahava, says Rashi, the Gemara, if you recall a bit ago, quoted Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera. Do you remember the words of Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera? Divrei Torah ena mekabelim tuma. Shine emar haloko devari ka yesh neuman dunai. Ma yesh eno mekabel tuma. Af Torah ena mekabelim Torah. Ena mekabel tuma. In other words, the statement of Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera is that a Baal Keri is always permitted in Torah. And that's how Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak went the halacha. Says Rashi, since Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who's a later generation rabbi, was posek lahalacha that way, that means that is the halacha. It's a hidur, it's a nice mitat chasidut. The Gemara gave us all sorts of inspiration, even after that on Kafbet Amud Aleph. But halacha l'maaseh, says Rashi, is like Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. It's interesting because Rava seems to be the next generation. Rava is really the last generation. We mentioned this in a recent class, that Rava is last generation. So Rava in our Gemara, Rashi says, well, he's not going against Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is one generation beforehand. For whatever reason, Rashi's assumption is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak closed that off. And Rava now glances back at the earlier generation and says, before we went like Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, here's how things worked out. Okay, if we'll move ahead, and again, just to review very briefly, we read from Tosafot in Bava Kama, we mentioned Harambam. Why was this takana, ultimately speaking, abandoned? The simple reason is this was difficult for the people to uphold. And for the Talmidei Chachamim who could uphold it, it was as a result preventing them either from study of Torah or from relations with their wives. And therefore, many other details and factors included, the takana was ultimately speaking annulled or just pulled out from its nature of being binding. Tanu Rabbanan, says the Gemara, Beraita, Baal Keri shenatnu alav tshah kabim mayim tahor. If a Baal Keri has 9 kabim, again, a smaller measurement than the 40 se'ah, put on him, he's tahor. Bamed vanim amurim. How and when is that applicable? Le'atzmo, if he's going to study Torah on his own. Aval le'achirim, if he's going to be teaching Torah, 40 se'ah. Then he needs 40 se'ah. Interesting statement. Why are we distinguishing? No simple answer. It might be, some of the mefarshim suggest, because the pasuk from which we derive that you need to be tahor is, do you remember the pasuk? Devarim perek dalet. V'hoda'atam, the pasuk says, Yom Hashem atah lifnei Adonai derech b'chorev. V'hoda'atam levanech levnei, excuse me. V'hoda'atam levanech levnei banecha Yom Hashem atah lifnei Adonai derech b'chorev. Pasuk talks about teaching Torah, and then it mentions Torah. Or Ma'amad Har Sinai, the same way Ma'amad Har Sinai was Be'ma Beretet B'Yirau B'Ze'ah, so too, well, the simple interpretation is V'Hoda'atam, the teaching. Alternatively, when you're teaching Torah, it takes more of a mindset and more of a commitment in terms of your mind and focus than when you're just studying or learning from someone. Either way you slice it, he's distinguishing between teaching, which is more severe, this Beraita, and studying. Rabbi Uda Omer, 40 Se'ah Mikol Makom. Rabbi Yehuda seems to say 40 se'ah, the higher measurement under all circumstances, it sounds like, even for studying. That lashon, his wording, mikol makom, is going to trigger the Gemara. It doesn't seem to be to fit. Mikol makom, generally speaking, sounds like a leniency. Mikol makom means that's all you need. What do you mean that's all you need? You were just stringent. The first opinion said 9 kabin if you're learning for yourself, 40 kabin if you're teaching another. Rabbi Yehuda seems to be lenient, and yet his statement is a stringency, 40 se'ah under all circumstances. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hanina, says the Gemara, there were two groups of rabbis, and we're not sure who said what, but we're aware that these two groups were separate on this matter. Again, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi on one end, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hanina on the other. Had mehai zuga v'had mehai zuga aresha. One from each of those two groups, we're not sure who, weighed in on the first statement in this Beraita. Remember the first statement in the Beraita? What we call the Resha. The Resha was 9 kabin for study, 40 se'ah for teaching. Hadamar, hadamar, taba medvarim amurim le'atzmo, aval le'achirim abayim se'ah, lo shanu ela le'chole hamargil, aval le'chole le'onso tisha kabin. One opinion said that even with regards to teaching others, where you need the larger measurement of arbayim se'ah, that's specifically and only when I'm dealing with a chole hamargil, meaning a person who had marital relations, even a talmid hacham. However, if it was onso, he slept, and this is what happened, it means his mind mindset was not altogether affected. Again, the logic that underlies all this is a person who commits marital affairs in an appropriate way, but it means their mind then is more distracted. If it wasn't through overt, direct distraction, in other words, I'm actually taking my mind off of it, I just happen to have woken up with this, then I only need tisha'a kabim. Hadamar, kol achirim afil l'cholei l'onso adika 40 se'ah. The other opinion, again, from those two zugot, those two groups of rabbis, is no, there's no distinction if you're teaching another, whether it was hamargil, marital relations, or l'onso, shouldn't make a difference. You need 40 se'ah. V'had ma'hizuga v'had ma'hizuga asefa. And then each of those two groups, one of the other rabbis weighed in on the sefa. What was the sefa? The words of Rabbi Yehuda. Remember Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda told us you need 40 se'ah mikol makom. Hadamar hadamar Rabbi Yehuda 40 se'ah mikol makom lo shenu ela bekarka aval bekelim lo. First opinion said, with regards to those 40 se'ah of Rabbi Yehuda, there's an added stringency. Not only do you need 40 se'ah, you need it to be a kosher mikveh according to the law of the Torah. You see, the law of the Torah is that a mikveh needs to be dug into the ground. It can't be an extra utensil. That's a biblical law. You may not use what's called a keli for a mikveh. Now, we have ways of dealing with this in our contemporary mikvaot, but it's learned from the adjacent mention of a mikveh and a ma'ayan. Ma'ayan meaning a spring. It's not something that's humanly generated. This is not the law that you might be thinking of called ma'im she'uvim, that it can't be drawn water. That's a separate law. There's a dispute about that law, about whether that's biblical or rabbinic in nature. Rashi, for example, recently we learned in Masechet Makot, maintains that that's midrabanan. This law, everybody agrees, is biblical in nature.
You can't dig for the mikveh.
You can't have a keli. I didn't say dig. Dig is into the ground. That's okay. You can't have a utensil which is placed in it that becomes your mikveh. As a result, if you're going to do contemporary mikvahot, you have to make certain that it doesn't have the halakha known as keli. Not so difficult to do, but a significant law nonetheless. That being the case, his statement is, if, for argument's sake, I were to use a keli and collect water from the sky in it, I can't, neither can a woman for nida from the Torah, nor any other biblical law, but even Baal Keli can't do it in a keli. Why not? That's the law. We have to follow all the laws seemingly from the Torah. The other opinion says, no, we can be lenient on this matter. On the one hand, Rabbi Yehuda says you need 40 se'ah, that's the larger measurement, irrespective of whether you're studying or teaching. However, it doesn't need to be like a woman's mikveh where it's not a keli, where it's in the ground. It can be even with a keli. Remember we mentioned a moment ago those words mikol makom sound like a leniency? Mikol makom, any way you do it. What do you mean any way you do it? Oh, so now I understand. According to the second approach that we just set forth, whereas even though Rabbi Yehuda says you need the larger measurement of 40 se'ah and an immersion in it, but what type of mikveh does it need to be? Not a women's mikveh, not a deoraita mikveh, it could even be a utensil. Now I understand the wording of mikom makom. Do you follow? Mikom makom is, yeah, any way you do it is okay. What do you mean anyway? You told me I need 40 se'ah, but any type of 40 se'ah. But what about according to the first opinion over here? Elamanda amar bekarka in bekelim lo mikom makom la'atu yemai. What would that be coming to teach me? How do you explain that it needs to be both in the ground and 40 se'ah? What leniency do you have in Rabbi Yehuda? Answers the Gemara, le'ituye, it would be coming to include ma'im she'uvim. What does ma'im she'uvim mean? Drawn water, meaning not rainwater. Drawn water for Baal Keri, everybody, the suggestion over here is, agrees, even Rabbi Yehuda would be kosher. It doesn't need to be a kosher mikveh min ha-Torah per se, assuming that ma'im she'uvim, or maybe it does. Ma'im she'uvim, again, is a mahloke, whether it's min ha-Torah midrabanan. Either the chidush over here is, doesn't even need to be a mikveh, which is kosher from the Torah. You can have ma'im she'uvim, drawn water, or you need to fulfill the de'oraita, the mitzvah from the Torah of mikveh, which means it's not a keli, it's not a utensil, it's rather in the ground. But the rabbinic law of ma'im she'uvim would not be in place. In short, what we're expressing and realizing in the Gemara is there are added leniencies according to the Biuda, but generally speaking, with regards to Baal Keri, it's a takana. It's not a halakha or a mitzvah from the Torah. Says the Gemara onward, Rav Papa v'Rav Huna bered Rav Yoshua v'Rava bar Shemuel karichu rifta behadeh hadadeh. These several rabbis were karichu rifta, which literally means they were folding bread. They were eating together. Behadeh hadadeh means together. So they're eating. They ate a meal of bread together. Amar lehu Rav Papa. Rav Papa now turns to the other rabbis and says, Havu li ledidi libroch. Let me now say Birkat HaMazon for everyone. Let me lead everyone. Why? Denaful ilavai tishakabin. Because I'm now pure. I may have been a Baal Keri, but 9 kavin, remember that smaller measurement, which could technically today be done with a shower of just a few minutes, I took that shower beforehand. I'm kosher, I could lead this. Now, again, what's he trying to do? Not only to say Birkat HaMazon, but furthermore to say it for others. So that's similar to teaching. Says the Gemara, Amar lehu Rava Bar Shimuel. Rava Bar Shimuel says about Rav Papa, wait a second. Tanina, we learned in the Beraita, Bamed Varim Amurim Le'atzmo, Aval Acherim Arbaim Se'ah, the Resha, not even Rabbi Yehuda. The first part of that Beraita said, if you're trying to help others, meaning I have to have more concentration, meaning it's more connected to that Pasuk, Ve'odatam Levanecha, well, then I need Arbaim Se'ah, so Rav Papa, beautiful that you did that. And beautiful, you could say the Bekat HaMazon on your own, but you can't fulfill it for us.
It's not just learning, it's doing any other Torah.
Right, interestingly.
You can't Hazan, you can't say Beracha on behalf of
right.
people.
Right, Hazanut and Beracha, Hazanut is maybe easier. Bekat HaMazon is a Hiddush in this, is it not? It's not per se about Torah. Now, we did see this earlier. We did learn earlier in the Perek about a Baal Keri, and we permitted him Bekat HaMazon. We needed to permit that, remember? Yes, it's on a De'oraita level. It means that we're considering that Divrei Torah as well. Yes, it's not per se, well said, the study of Torah, it's the engagement in Torah words, which includes Birkat HaMazon. It says the Gemara, Ela, rather, I'm not sure, it sounds like Rav Papa changed his statement over here. Havu li lididi, give me to say Birkat HaMazon, likroch, dinaful, excuse me, no, Rava now is speaking up. Rava Bar Shimuel, who corrected and said, no, Rav Papa, no good. Instead, let me say Birkat. Oh, what's your credentials, Rava Bar Shemuel? Havu li lididi, let me livroch denaful ilavai arbaim se'ah. I did it right. You did base level, Rav Papa. I did higher level. I could teach others. I did a full immersion in arbaim se'ah. The Lashon of the Gemara is naful ilavai. Naful ilavai means fell onto me. That's a funny wording. As Rashi points out, Nafuli Lavai Lav Davka, Ela Tavalti Be'arbaim Se'ah. When you're dealing with the measurement of 40, there's no such thing as for Tisha Kabim, we talk about a shower. Arbaim Se'ah, you need to immerse yourself in it. So it says the Lashon, fix it. And Lashon, don't read it too carefully. He was just copying the Lashon of Rav Papa, Nafuli Lavai fell onto me. He's changing the measurement. Amar Lehu Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, okay, I heard both of you, Rav Papa. I heard Rava's counterclaim, but listen to this. Havu lididi livroch. I think I'm best suited for making it. How could you be best suited? You did him, were you in the mikveh? Deleka'i lavai lohai velohai. I had no such issue. I didn't need Tisha Kabin. I didn't need Arbaim Se'ah. I didn't enter into the day of Baal Keri. I was focused from the onset. In other words, maybe if you had Arbaim Se'ah, it fixed your focus, so to speak. You were off because of whatever happened. You had relations or otherwise. But for me, I've been pure all day and night, says the Gemara. Rav Hama Tavil B'ma'ale Yoma D'Pisha. What Rav Hama did was he immersed himself on the day before Pesach. Why so? Lehosi rabim yedei chovatam. He did so that he could fulfill for others their mitzvah. Sounds like in the Haggadah shel Pesach. Sounds like he was going to be reading for others, and as a result of reading and teaching others, don't forget that is the mitzvah on Pesach, the gadtal binecha of Haggadah shel Pesach, and he was going to, the lashon is lehotzi rabim yedei chovatam, he was going to help others fulfill their mitzvah. He immersed then, says the Gemara in its final three words, velet hilcheta kavate, but the halacha is not like him. What does that mean, the halacha is not like him? Rashi, deki hechide le'atzmo benetina le'achirim name benetina. Version one of Rashi is, he didn't need to immerse himself, even though he was teaching others, because we're going according to the opinion that, neither one of the two opinions in the Beraita, even to teach others, you don't need 40 se'ah. What do you need? 9 kabin, lower level. It's an opinion we didn't see on this Amud. We talked about it earlier, but before we made that distinction, this says the Gemara, maybe you don't need that distinction. Do you have another explanation why le tilchita kavate? The other explanation says Rashi, iname de kaimalan kirabi uda ben betera. Says Rashi, the other interpretation is, as I told you earlier, remember Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak told us earlier on this sugya that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera. Remember Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera? En divrei Torah mekabelin tuma, meaning the punchline according to that second interpretation in Rashi is that our Gemara concludes by reminding us This is not an absolute necessity. I'm not driving you away from it. The Gemara did tell us several ma'alot and beautiful things that can emerge from this in terms of protecting yourself from sin, keeping yourself away from inappropriate engagement and behavior. But in the scheme of things, halakha l'ma'aseh, says our Gemara, le'tilchita kavate, second interpretation of Rashi, buttressed by what he said earlier, is that we don't posek halakha, we don't follow halakha with regards to necessitating, saying you're obligated to follow this takanat ezra. What happened in the story? Mabadif. I imagine Rav Huna that he still does have the nicest claim. This is a separate story, right? That was the story. And then we followed that up by Rav Hama, what was his name? By Rav Hama, who did the Tevilah on Erev Pesach. Well, that story they never told us. That was all. The conversation was significant enough. The punchline was less the point of the story, it seems, from the Gemara. That's what we have then in our Gemara. Tosafot furthermore addresses. If you take a look quickly at Tosafot, v'letil cheta kavate. Again, those were the final words in our Gemara. Says Rashi, the tefila. It says Tosafot, the tefila bechol yom b'arba'im se'ah. The halakha is not that you need. Even if you're teaching others, name as well. He's quoting from Rashi. Iname. Alternatively, that's a straight and direct quotation from Rashi. Two interpretations to what we don't follow in that final story about Rav Hama. Says Tosafot, v'yesh mefarshim davka l'Torah, aval l'tvila sarich tevila. How do you like that? Tosafot brought us in the opposite direction from what we were discussing just a few moments ago. There are those who suggest that maybe Torah is more lenient, but when it comes to Avodah, Tefillah, for that you certainly would need Tefillah. See, even though our Gemara concludes with Letil Cheta Kavate, maybe that's with regards to, remember the words of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beterah, En divrei Torah mikabelin tuma. That's if you're studying Torah. You're engaged in Tefillah. It's not exactly Torah. Maybe it is mikabel Torah. Upiresh ri. De la shena. Ri, however, disagrees. V'hatovel be'erev yom ha-kippurim eno levarech v'hamevarech havei beracha levatala. Tosafot, even though it isn't at all directly in having to do with this sugya, Tosafot then addresses a point which we can and should on another occasion address, and that is there was and is a minhag, it's even mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, that on Erev Kippur you go to the mikveh. The Geonim, from the time of the Geonim, they used to make a beracha on that tevilah. Rosh, following the tradition of Tosafot, and in turn Shulchan Aruch, of course, copies this over as well, says, do not make a beracha. So Tosafot just throws that in. Now that we were talking about Tevilah and Erev Yom Tov and so on and so forth, you should just know Erev Kippur, when you go to the mikveh, when there is a custom longstanding, don't make a beracha then. I just want to mention parenthetically a final line in this Gemara. The Gemara mentioned again how Rav Hama went to the mikveh on Erev Pesach. There is a question. Aren't you supposed to go to the mikveh on every Erev Yom Tov? The Gemara, Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tet Zayin, has a statement of Rabbi Yitzhak that Hayav, a person is obligated to go to the mikveh on Erev Yom Tov. How come the Gemara says, oh, the reason Rav Hama did it was in order for others to fulfill their mitzvah on Pesach? No, you need to go to the mikveh on every Erev Pesach. Some suggest that this is support for the famous words of Sha'agat Aryeh. Sha'agat Aryeh and Sheilot Teshuvot suggest that the obligation of going to the mikveh on Erev Yom Tov is no longer applicable. What do you mean no longer applicable? It's specifically a law which was relevant to eating from korbanot, entering into the mikdash. In a day and age when we no longer have mikdash, it's a nice minhag, but it's no longer an obligation. So therefore, Rav Hama said, of course I don't usually go to the mikveh. I'm not obligated to do so. I do, however, when I'm going to fulfill that mitzvah for other family members on Pesach, even though this general obligation of going to the mikveh, hayav adam l'taher et asmo, on Erev HaRegel, is no longer applicable. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen.